adjourned.
We do, with the exception of Chris.
We are ready to go.
I'm not making it up. I think, you know, first of all, the moon's in retrograde, so we, you know, we got that going for us. I think today's the last day. For those of you who follow such things, and I dialed in the regular number, and it didn't. It would give a busy signal, which was very strange. Strange it is.
So we're ready when you are.
So you guys tell me what you. Okay, then I'm ready to start. Let's go with calling the meeting in order and. Approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved. So moved.
Second?
Second.
The motion of second? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
All right, I'll let you take over. Anybody there in the public who cares to speak?
Public comment.
Hi, Mark. Your lunch date is waiting.
Was that a no?
We have three public and none of them want to speak, so...
Okay,
that's
perfect.
Let's go on to
approval of the minutes.
Okay, there's one little error on number two. No, actually number four. Andrea, it's approval of the minutes, and it should if you could just replace the word agenda with minutes.
On the
action part?
So are you referring to the district?
Aren't we doing the district meeting first?
Yes, you're referring to the minutes.
Yeah.
So one is how to order, two is approval of the agenda.
Number three, number four. After public comment is number four, approval of the minutes.
Okay.
So in the action, just replace the word agenda with the minutes.
Minutes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. That was it. I move approval.
So moved.
Second there, Arthur?
Yeah, second.
Okay. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, CEO report.
All right. I just want to raise awareness about what is happening nationwide with the coronavirus, and that it may have some financial implications for our district. And I think we need to be vigilant about that. First, because we have a grant-making agenda or program, and sometimes we get requests that I believe are too large for what we should be funding, and that right now we are assessing what role, if any, we as the healthcare district should be playing in addressing the pandemic that is hitting our area and that is going to have a dent in our economy, and it's going to have a financial impact on the healthcare nonprofit community here in Coachella Valley. We are in conversations with the RMC, and we are in conversation with the community clinics and with the county, and trying to gather as much information as we can, and also assessing what are the immediate needs and what we can project will be the financial impact of this in our district, and the role that we can play to mitigate the impact of coronavirus in Coachella Valley. So, just so you know, more information will come over the next few hours as we start getting a better idea of what the specific needs are. I think we need to look at, number one, the healthcare infrastructure. So that is hospitals and clinics, and then the sites where people get congregated, especially people at risk of high morbidity and mortality. So those are skilled nursing facilities and other congregated sites. The other sites of congregation that we need to be vigilant of is the homeless shelters, where we have a large population here in Coachella Valley, and we need to make sure that we're providing some form of support to have better sanitation in those sites. to prevent the spread of coronavirus. And finally, I think we also need to make sure that we know what the schools are doing and understand if they have any needs to support the childhood population that is attending public schools in Coachella Valley.
Okay, so on that topic.
Any questions from board members?
Yes, I actually did have, I had planned on bringing up about the discretionary fund. You had talked about in the past that you wanted to, how you would use it and maybe increasing it. I'm wondering, because of this health issue that's facing us and we don't really know what is ahead of us, do you have the ability to act, or would, or should we think about maybe increasing that discretionary fund now, or would you feel comfortable in just bringing us together? Is that quick enough for you to respond?
I think that the resources that are going to be needed exceed any discretionary fund. It's going to be a big number.
Okay.
So, and I think that we need to wait until we have a better understanding of what the needs are going to be.
Okay. Yeah. Very good.
But our role is going to be limited to supporting agencies that are going to deliver services. We're not going into the service business.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
Is there a tenant representative there at the meeting?
Yes. Linda is here.
Do they care to speak, or would they rather not?
Is there a specific question that you
have?
Is there a specific, it's Linda Evans, Mark. Is there a specific curious question?
I'm Linda. Just curious what the hospital's doing. I read some things in the papers and the releases, and just give us the highlights of what's going on and what you need. And,
sure.
And have you seen much of anything so far? I'm sure there's universal precautions everywhere, but give us the cliff notes of anything you think we ought to know.
Yeah, cliff notes are, in terms of our entrance and or visitation policy or practice, it's similar to flu season. We're following the County Department of Public Health and CDC guidelines in terms of identifying patients in advance of their entryway. If they're exhibiting symptoms or have verbalized they have symptoms, fever, have traveled, we're asking those questions. We're having mask and hand sanitizer stations at every entrance. We've limited the number of entrances to help control that better, because initially we were putting those outside and somebody literally drove up to the emergency room, got out of their car, stole the entire mask and sanitizer station, put it in their car and drove away. That happened the first day within hours of us setting them up. So we've got signage. We're very much in contact on a daily basis with the county and CDC in terms of their calls, identification potentially of any patients. We're going through the protocols and notification. And, it's similar to when we would get a TB patient, and the process where the county basically manages that patient with you, because it becomes their patient, so to speak, being cared for in your facility. So all that is going well. Some of the discussion that Conrado mentioned is there is a need potentially to have outpatient site testing in this area. Now that testing will become more readily available. And so we're exploring ways to potentially set up somewhat of like drive-through testing sites for people that can get temp and swabbed and registered for tests throughout this valley, and that's where a good partnership would come about. So we're coordinating with the LabCorp processing entity as well as County Department of Public Health on what that process looks like, and that's where the district potentially could play a vital role with us, with Borrego, with the cities that would be helping host these locations for minimal impact. But I will say that we've got over 3,400 employees in Desert Care Network, and we have one or two people that are vocal, and we have the necessary supplies available, we have the resources available, we have staffing available, and we are following, again, all the protocols in terms of caring for any potential patient that may identify as a possible COVID-19.
Great. Thank you. Does any of the directors have any questions?
Yeah, I have a question. At the last public meeting, Michelle was describing the spike in classical flu. Has that continued to be there? Is it going up, down, stable?
The flu numbers have actually subsided. And we don't know if it's people who are afraid to think they have the flu because it might be something else, or they're staying at home when they're sick and it's not to the point where they have respiratory issues that they need to come in. But our flu numbers are falling
coming
off
down
a little bit.
Thank you.
Is
anything further?
One question that I have is just, I know there's a lot of information out there about this, but is there like a trend? Is there like seasonally, because we're now going to enter the spring season, is there the expectation that the numbers will drop, or does it matter about seasons?
I would say, and this is a conversation Conrado and I had before the meeting, there's not enough testing that's happening, so I think the perception is skewed over the numbers because the testing has been limited just across the board in the United States. So I think that's a component. The heat, according to our infectious prevention nurses and physicians, the culture doesn't do well in heat. So once the summer months get here, it actually will be better for us. But that's not to say there's a wave. I mean, I'm not clinical that way, but I think because it's so new, it's still the identification process, and we don't know what's out there because of either the panic that's been driven partially by the media, or the unknown of what this really is, or the lack of a cure, or the lack of a vaccine right now. But coronavirus isn't new, COVID is new, and we're doing the best to make sure that we help educate and provide the same guidelines. We refer everything really to county and CDC, and we have that information on our website. And it's a great source of information for the public. They've just updated the website as of this morning, rivcoph.org, and they have a multitude of toolkits and resources, even talking about people with their pets. It's not transmittable by animals, schools, churches, hospitals, healthcare, outpatient. There's a whole number of little things so rivcoph.org, and they have a dedicated coronavirus tab on their website, the county. And we've emailed Dr. Kaiser on a number of things, and he's on the spot, ready to go. You'll see soon in the Graz area a couple of tents go up, like our disaster search tents. We're doing that proactively. We don't need them yet, but we're getting the approvals to have them there in the event we need to have a waiting area as patients present, so that we're not inundated, given that our ER is under construction remodel.
Has there been any discussion with Eisenhower to coordinate care?
That's an interesting question, and the answer would be yes, because I'll tell you an example of the impact on this whole valley. When Eisenhower's patient was identified, the physician that was caring for that patient is also a physician on staff at Desert, like one of two infection preventionists, and was put on a home quarantine for 14 days. We had nurses that called into us saying, I was told by Eisenhower in the county I can't come to work because I was working with that patient, so now I'm off work at Desert Regional for 2 weeks. So when you look at the workforce, that's a critical piece of making sure we're following everything collectively across the board. It's not because they did anything wrong, it's the protocol, but that's how great an impact it could be. So when we look at, we've canceled our community lectures and events for March and April, because we do a lot of talks at senior centers and invite those folks in, and we've got to be sensitive to our physicians and staff doing screenings and volunteering their time in the community, that we're going to need them to provide care for the people that are potentially in need of the treatment and the help without having them being on quarantine for 14 days.
So was the doctor tested? Infectious disease person?
According to the county health officer, the physician is asymptomatic and will be returning to work. Yeah. That's the thing, is they don't necessarily need to be tested. They monitor the symptoms over 14 days before that occurs. If they're asymptomatic, they're not going to, according to county protocols, they won't do the test automatically just because they were around that patient. Yeah, again, it's on the website. We're not making up the rules. It's a very structured program. Yeah. But don't believe everything you read on some of those posts. Thank you.
Like, normally we go to the election's office for the chief administrative officer report, but he's not on it. So there's a recent update on.
He's not? Yeah, yes, he is.
Hi, Chris. There he is.
Hi.
I'm here. Good. Did you have a with the phone number? Did it say it was busy?
No, I got in fine, but I probably got in ahead of you, so maybe I thought it was some grief. I don't know.
I got it. Okay. All right, go ahead. Lisa, okay.
So, Las Palmas Medical Plaza, some things we have going on there. One is the some landscape work that we will be presenting today. Later on in this meeting regarding the occupancy at the plaza. We are almost 98% occupied. We have a couple of suites that we're working on. Otherwise, we're almost fully occupied there at the moment. So we're getting close. So, we'll continue to work on that. Also, before we continue on, I'd like to introduce, we do have a replacement for our founding manager. His name is Eric Taylor. He is in the boardroom there as we speak, and would like to welcome him aboard. He has been working for several years for the Sunline Transit Agency and has a very good background, certainly welcome him to the district and the foundation.
So moved.
Well, I met him yesterday, so good guy. Anything further you want to add? Anybody? Okay. Let's then, what I'm going to do is tick through the financial reports, and if as we go through them, interrupt if you have questions, and we'll do that. Let's start with the district and the Las Palmas Medical Plaza financial statements on 8-18. Any questions on those? Okay, how about the accounts receivable aging report on 19?
Who's Dr. Bench Karun?
Hold on. I'm
sorry?
Well, Letty has a statement. Letty wanted to say something.
Oh, on page 15. No, I think I got my question answered. That's fine. I'll skip that.
On page 19, Dr. Hassan Bench Karun is deemed a slow pay. Is there an issue there?
No, he's actually, I put that label there, but he's actually a brand new tenant, and he just gets up to speed. We gave him a couple of 3 months of rent. And so I think there's just a clarification there that, because he did make a payment, but it is a month that he needs to catch up on. So I don't think there's an issue there yet. He's just brand new. I think we're fine.
Thank you.
Okay. District deposits on 20 to 21. Okay. Property tax on 22. Las Palmas Medical Plaza deposits, 23. Any questions on the district check register, 24, 25? Credit card detail on 26.
On 26, do we have a policy for when board members sign up for something and then can't go for something? And is there like... I know that there are some that have really good causes, good reasons for not being able to go, but I was just wondering, do we have a policy for that? Or?
Chris, we don't have a policy. That's not in our ticket distribution policy, is it? I don't believe so. When a director when they sign up for an event and unfortunately something happens and they are not able to attend, that's not our policy.
No. Okay.
It's not included in any policy.
I just know that not any of the ones that I've been involved in, but I have heard, I think the COD board, I think that they have some policy that if a person isn't able to attend, they have to have a good reason, if somebody has a valid reason. And if they do not show up, if they are not able to attend, then they're kind of warned that they can't sign up again unless they know for sure. You know, it's kind of given like a courtesy, warning that don't don't do it. And I know that there's two board members that signed up for it that they weren't able to go, and I know Les had a really good reason.
Signed up for what?
For the ACHD thing.
Right. So Les was the only one that was not able to attend.
Oh, I thought it said Carol also.
Carol shouldn't be on there.
It says 6351. It has Carol was also.
Okay, so that probably was during the time when she had her issues as well with her hip and everything that was going on.
Well, she shouldn't have signed up for it.
Well, so sometimes they sign. I totally understand what you're saying, but what happened with her was she didn't know it was going to happen, and it was already purchased beforehand.
She's been having health issues for a while. That's what I'm saying, is that
she should
just kind of keep
that in mind. We have had issue regarding what you're talking about in the past when we paid, the district was paid for the director and, you know, a significant other, and then, you know, for whatever reason didn't show up, and there wasn't necessarily a valid reason, but I think you're right. We should have some, you know, some kind of a policy that guides that, that if there's, so that doesn't become a habit for me, and, you know, not take it lightly type of situation. So,
I think it is. Chris, I think that that's actually an error on there. I think that that's an error for Carol, Conrado, and Les.
And
I think Carol did. I don't think she even signed up to attend because she had already had her surgery. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an error, actually. And maybe Eric can check it out if he.
And maybe even when I were to sign up for it and then something happens, to let you know right away, so maybe you can't
get a refund
money back.
Right. So like with Les's example, it was past the refund.
Yeah. And that's totally understandable. There's gonna happen.
I know that that's a mistake. Carol didn't sign up for ACHD. It was Letty, Yvette, Conrado, and Karen. Those were the people.
Okay, that was
it. But we'll check it today.
Thank you.
Good catch. But we did have a fire situation. We'll talk about it. We could bring something into a new policy. Talk to Conrado about it, see what we want to do there. Okay. Let's move on then from that to the office policy medical deposit check register. 27.
Is Elena
retirement plan 28?
Oh, hold on, Mark. I just want to confirm that Elena Adina Peterson is one of your consultants.
That's actually the landscape design consultant. That's actually the probably sitting in the room there with.
Okay, she's just showed herself. Thank you.
Good. So then now go on to the RPP update on 28. Okay. A little bit of movement. We had actually three or four in the last month of some of the long-term employees there that are starting to say it's okay, it's time to move on. So directly about in line after. Well, I'm just impressed with how long people have stayed. I mean, that's a tribute to management and the character of the people. So, yeah, and we're talking 20 to 30 years. Yeah. The IPP update.
Wait. Did you pass page 30?
Page 29.
I got to get the grant schedule on 29.
29, okay.
So
and then we'll jump into other matters.
On page 29, the one that caught my attention was at the very top, CBAG. So they haven't submitted for anything, for any reimbursements?
Not yet.
Okay. I thought they were going to submit it the day after.
They're going to jump on that, yeah.
Remember, Erica mentioned at the board meeting that they just received approval, I believe, from the commission or something like that to move forward. So they mentioned that they will be drawn down.
Okay.
Well, you have to keep in mind, too, that this is on a reimbursement basis, so they have to complete the work and be reimbursed for it. So, there'll be a lag there. Yeah. Okay, anything else on the financial reports? Okay, let's go to
Grand Canyon and Mel.
Yeah, Mike, I have a question about that.
Okay.
It's an informational question because it's an informational issue. And I just asked the question so that the question gets asked. In light of the potential future discussions with Tenet and Mark's perception that maybe a resizing of and a redefining of issues are, bed-wise and otherwise, is it worthy to have this piece of property in inventory? Just to create some options, for lack of a better word, going forward, assuming there's an effectively or a valid conclusion to the discussion with Tenet. And the issue, and I'm also obviously also relating it to seismic issues that might drive certain kinds of reconfiguration of facilities? Or is that beyond the scope of the district to consider? Is really
No. These are good questions. I think the reason this is here is kind of brought to my attention, whatever, and I was not nonplussed by it, only for this reason. I still, at each meeting, say, we have less money than we would need to terminate the lease, and so we're effectively bankrupt, and so we should get moving on our negotiations, ball still in Tenet's court, I was, and the only other thing that came into mind for me, is as you know, I deal with some real estate around, and I think stuff's about as expensive as it gets. I did, after being there yesterday, went by again and went, I'm not even sure, you know, we could continue to gather information about lot size and whatever, and other than parking, I don't think there was much opportunity.
Yeah, but that's true. I would agree with
that. Is that a bad option?
I would agree with you, Mark, but if you also look at the relief map on page 31, you see that it's contiguous to the 291 East Camino Monte Vista property, and the sum of those two is a fairly substantial footprint relatively close to the hospital. So I'm just raising the question to raise the question with no other intention.
I think you recognize that those properties you're talking about are diagonal to each other. They're not connecting.
No, they're not connected. They're adjacent. They butt up against each other. They share a common lot line.
So 291 is on the next street over. Camino Monte Vista.
Oh, wait a second.
If you look at that overview, it's got the red line on it. It's diagonally opposite of that. So it doesn't connect.
To quote Emily Latella, never mind. Thank you.
and that space is for, that building is for lease. So it's a two-story, 10,000 square foot space. But then there's another piece of property that I that the realtor sent to me after I published a pack that Eric has available there. It's an empty lot that's on the next street up from that Monte Vista, which is Stevens, and it's a 3/4 acre lot that doesn't have any, you know, signage or anything on it. Real estate agent pulled some some property assessment information, but don't know if that's available for sale or not. Those are the properties that are there. Yeah. I think it's a good idea for us to have a file on everything around us, and current situation,
yep,
compared to the current market. But the next major lunch or breakfast to inform my son where we're at. Where do we go from here relative to tenant? And by the way, I think everybody's doing the right thing. And got to look at their cards and figure out what they should play next. But I think the deal's in them right now. And that's my understanding. And those of you who may be on the committee as well. But I think we should know about every property in and around us and have a file for it. See if we can dig that. I mean, it's easy to get the owner, figure out what's going on, and be aware of that, because that, ultimately is how we make our money, with leasing property to really well-run businesses. So, any further questions on that from anybody? Hearing none, the Las Palmas Medical Planscape Plaza landscape estimate design. Who's on the point for that?
I'll take the lead on that for the moment. So, we had approached the committee a few months ago and did have a service agreement approved by the committee and the board to pursue having a landscape design work done by Bedford Modern Landscape, who Elena Peterson, who is there with us today. She's been the individual that's been working on our landscape plan and cost estimates over the last few months. And also with us is Chris Mills, architect with Crest. I'm sorry if I pronounced it incorrectly, Rootset Greenwood, architect firm. He's also a former city council person for the city of Palm Springs and has been around the Las Palmas Medical Plaza for just a few years and knows it very well. So we've been working collectively to design or put together a landscape design that would be, very appealing to the property. It's seen some changes landscape-wise over the last few years. Some of it having to do with the water situation, the drought situation. And we used to have grass around quite a bit of the streetscape. And with removal of the grass, the irrigation just hasn't been, good to be able to keep up with the trees that are there. So we've been moving several trees, and we've had the sprinkler, underground sprinkler system for the fire infrastructure completed. So, but we do need some landscape work done over there. What we have put together for presentation to the committee is a plan over a couple of years. The total cost would be estimated at around $312,000. Again, this is an estimate. The work will need to go out for bid under a prevailing wage bid process. And so that will take a little bit of time. The anticipated process would be over 2 years with some phase work. The actual work, first phase work, was estimated to begin in September of 2020, which would be in the next fiscal year, which we would incorporate budget into those 2 years. We currently do have $150,000 in this year's fiscal budget, but the fiscal work, the physical work, will not start until the following year. So what we've presented is a packet that shows all the hard work that Elena and Chris and the staff has worked on to develop. To begin, we would like to start with the streetscape on Via Marileste and Pachiva, and then progressively work towards the interior and make the property look really, really nice, very good. Very appealing to not only the tenant, but the patients and the customers that come onto the site. So if you have any questions, or we do have both Elena and Chris available for any questions that you might have. Any directors or
have any questions?
I do. On page, well, what I was noticing on page 36 and 37, it was having to remove some palm trees. And then that caught my attention. And then later on, when I was looking at the plans, it said whether removal of palm trees, whether there was optional or not. So why do we have to remove those trees? Are they dying or dead or what?
They're overgrown, and one of them was kind of leaning. So some of the palm trees in the courtyard, as you come in, as at the entrance, are the date palms. So they all have like us an age, and if you want to do something new, I recommend to have new palm trees so they have another span of 30 years. They've been planted when the project was constructed, so they grow like taller and taller. So that might have another 5, 6, 10 years. We don't know.
Okay.
So for the
also, we have had two of the palms in that entrance area that have died over the last 2 or 3 years, and we've had to have them removed because the upper portions of those trees become very weak and very concerning, especially with the wind. They could, you know, break off and topple onto a car or patients below, and so it's something that doesn't have to be done immediately, but like Elena's saying, you know, they're older trees and they're aging and are going to become a problem within the next few years.
And to add to Chris, I think the continuity to put a shorter palm with all the tall ones will look odd. To have them all together and have the same height will be my preference, but the budget will tell us if we could
going
for it.
I'm okay with it. Thank you for the explanation. I don't mind so much about tall and short. I think it's good to have size proportionate. Thank you.
One of the concerns with those trees that we currently have in there is that they're quite messy. You know, when they produce and they drop all the production down on the ground, and they are very, very messy on that. So part of the consideration might be to put a different type of palm in there, including those remote removed.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate the explanation.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good questions. Any other questions from anybody? If not, is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any further items to come before the committee? I'm Chris Mills, and we are adjourned. Let's go into the initiative break. Are we ready to roll?
What do you do with the removed trees? Do you just trash them?
Thank you, Elena and Chris.
Thank you. The tall ones, you cannot use them. The surviving, they cannot survive replanting them. So
you just trash them.
Yeah. Landfill.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Pretty plan.
You set?
Yes.
Very colorful.
Okay, let's call the order.
Very, very pretty.
Oops. Someone in the room, let me know when they should start. I'll sit tight for a second.
You can start now.
Yeah.
Okay, let's call the meeting to order. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Yeah. Okay. Once the is approved, any public comment?
No.
Hearing none, let's go on to the minutes of February 11th. Motion to approve.
Move to approve.
Second.
But same thing with
same.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. CEO, care to add anything?
Nope.
All right. Financial statements, other than the same that we did before. Let's go pages 4 to 8. Any questions?
Nope.
The deposit's on 9. Check register on 10. Credit card expenditures on 11. General grant schedule. The motion
Oh, I do have a question on the grants.
Reports.
I do have a question on the grants.
Okay.
So if there's an organization that is applying for county for Coachella Valley wide, is that going to be deducted from the East Valley amount, or is that, how is that?
Anybody?
Chris?
I'd be making it up, so.
We're still separated.
We're still separated.
We're still separated. So the judge decides to use taxpayers' dollars to be able to fund the East
Right now, it's currently defined.
Hold on, Chris, one second. Donna's speaking.
Money.
So you came at a perfect time.
Never mind. I said to the lady that we still split it up, meaning that until the board decides they can use taxpayers' dollars on the Eastern Coachella Valley, we still split up the district funds.
So that's okay. Being tracked as well still.
Yeah, so at that point, that's where I was going. So currently we have the $3.5 million of what was the property tax dollars committed to the fire district boundaries, and then the $300,000 per year committed to the expanded.
I have a question.
There's two pools of funds that are currently designated.
I have a question, Chris. Is this issue of, let's call it segregating money or being very sensitive to the boundary, is this a legal issue or is this a political issue or is it both?
Legal counsel says we can.
What's that?
At this point, I believe it's a political issue.
It's a political issue.
I understand. And this would be a Jeff question. Is that the tax dollars, once the expansion occurs, can be used district wide? But that's a board decision and includes the political decision in that process.
Well, maybe this is a way to galvanize the East community to exert some pressure on the county or other sources to expand their support for us, given the fact that we can excite the people on the western side of the line for their concerns about the ostensible use of west side western tax dollars. Just a thought. If it's a political issue.
There has been pretty extensive efforts to that cause prior to the expansion initiative on the ballot. But yes, definitely the thoughts are valid.
Okay, on another question that I have, the homelessness, which is number 1006, the balance is $890,000 for the Homelessness Initiative Collective Fund. Is that the money that we draw down for, that we get to see back for our contribution?
Yes.
And we have that much, right?
I thought this was the second round you did.
There is.
It's the other, another match.
Currently, there's been all the match paid out from what's been committed before.
So that is.
So that 890,000 money that are available for the board to determine how they would like to commit.
Okay, so it's not allocated then for anything.
Correct.
So that's something we're going to talk about at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You'll give us some ideas of what we should be thinking of for that. Okay. And the Behavioral Health Initiative Collective Fund, is that for the people that you just hired? Is coming down from that?
Not only for that, it's an allocation to address behavioral health issues. We're waiting to have that program officer that is joining, and that person will be assessing what are the needs and how we can grant those dollars out, and how we can also use them to leverage other resources.
Okay, thank
yep.
you.
Welcome.
That's it for me.
Any other questions? Then how about a motion to approve the financial reports?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Audit firm proposal on page 13. Chris, are you willing?
I think that's not on me.
I can do it, Chris. So one of the conversations we have had at the board level, and we were instructed to have some thoughts about it and bring back something for your consideration, is that there are smaller nonprofit organizations that are doing valuable work, and they are unable to apply to the district for grant dollars because they have never had a audited financial statement. So as we were selecting a new auditing firm for the district, we had this conversation about how much it would take for a CPA firm to do an audit that the district would pay for. And that way we're building capacity in the community, the nonprofit community here in Coachella Valley. And they estimate that it would be between 3,000 to 4,000, depending on the size. And for those that have a larger amount of revenue or more complex transaction, it would be between 4,000 and 5,000, and some might be 5,000 to 7,000. The requirement is that the nonprofit organization will have a revenue that is less than 500,000 that would make them eligible to apply. And because we still don't have the mechanism to do this, we estimate that it would be a good practice to say, okay, let's set aside $50,000, and we estimate that maybe 10 to 15 nonprofit organizations that haven't had an audited financial statement, they could apply and we would pay for it, and this auditing firm would do it. I think the only thing that I would change from this recommendation, and I'm sorry I didn't catch this earlier, is that instead of adding another $50,000 to our annual budget, that we could use this $50,000 from the existing allocation for our grant portfolio, trying to be conservative with our expenses.
So if they, if an organization gets an audit, then they get a real audit?
Yes.
Okay, and it includes a management letter?
Everything.
Okay.
Yes.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Not a fake audit.
Yeah, this is a good idea. Let me say this. Will we get a copy, one? And two, Lemon Guthrie, is there anybody there from Lemon Guthrie?
No.
In the audience?
No.
Okay. So you could just do this verbally. Is the other value of this is, you know, I've done this before, and the Coachella Valley Rescue Mission comes to mind. You know, I think it was 10, 15 years ago, and it was just completely disabled, and they had huge financial problems and defalcations, and a bunch of community members went in and kind of straightened out and did this and finally got audits. And they can, so in that place, it was kind of a handful of bad mistakes and then the wrong people on the hill in it. And it wasn't necessarily criminal. The criminal guy was arrested, but the others were just not aware of how to handle financial statements and auditing, so we can help empower these smaller organizations to do that, which do some really specialized work in really specialized communities. So I'm very supportive of this. Can we somehow, in the course of this, because the money's going to London Guthrie, I guess my question is either for Chris or Conrado. You don't see any problem with us working with London Vetri on that front, do you?
No, actually, there are new audit firms going into our next annual audit, and so they are working with us on the discounted rates associated as well. Also, yes, we will be receiving the audit reports that are completed for each of these audits that we're considering. So we will understand what each entity is about.
Yeah, great. No, I think this is good. So any other questions from anybody else?
So if an organization comes... I have a question.
Let me speak here.
If an organization comes and asks for an audit and then it's a grant and then we give it to them, the following year, could they come again? And I think we should probably, I'm thinking of that person that was at the last board meeting where she mentioned that she would like to apply for grants, but this is an issue. If they come back for the second year and if you're inclined to give it to them or to do it again, they should have to show that they applied to other funders. And because it is really about capacity building.
Yes, that they have right. grown their in their capacity.
Yeah,
yeah absolutely, okay. I think so.
So I think everybody also, I think that their board is really should be responsible for finding the funds to have them get an audit. So if you can do it for one time, kickstart them, but then it should be their board's responsibility to continue to pay for audits year after year.
I think I would also suggest that we require them to report the receipt of any grant funds that are foundational to our providing them with that so that we can use that for public relations purposes, because it's a demonstration of how we have leveraged the community's funding to create more social service funding for the community.
Yep.
And it's point of leverage, it's a multiplier effect.
Absolutely.
So going back to what Donna was just saying, that there's a responsibility that the organization has to have, maybe what we should do is that the second year they can ask for up to 75%, not 100%,
that's
third
good.
Year 50%. So showing that they have an expectation that they are doing something to
self-reliance. Yeah. Okay. Really good. Well,
one question that I had, would it be limited to just health and wellness nonprofits, or any nonprofit here locally that maybe does not have a direct correlation to a health and wellness service, or is it any nonprofit in the valley?
I think health and wellness.
I would suggest that it's health and wellness.
Yeah.
Limited to health and wellness.
Yeah.
And let me I know how some of this came about, but you know, I apologize for telling other organizations go to CNA and see if they can help fund some of your audited financials. Would there possibly be a partnership there with RAP, because with the Center for Nonprofit Advancement and building up their capacity, that there could be some kind of funding partnership where district and RAP help towards the payment of audited financials?
Well, what I see is the possibility of what you said is to build up their capacity, how to build up their board, how to build up their marketing, their web page, those things.
So there could be some contingencies on some of these, right? On an individual basis.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Thank you.
Good. Okay. Any further questions? Okay. Is there a motion?
So moved.
I'm sorry. Well, can I ask you in the motion to include the language that says from existing allocations, grant allocations?
Sure.
Yes. And will you add the other details that we talked about?
Yes. So when this comes to the board, it will have that language correct.
And then it will demonstrate an accountability to report actual receipts of funds and a graduated weaning of support over the years, consistent with the recommendation of our president.
Yeah.
Health and wellness organization.
Health and wellness.
Okay, do we have a motion second here?
Yes.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. CB Hip marketing campaign.
Okay, so Will and Alejandro have been working extensively with trying to develop a marketing campaign for CB Hip. Alejandro's been over the last several months out in the field doing training and education with our partners and that. They've been utilizing CB Hip quite extensively now. And so we would like to start marketing to the general public and start getting some utilization from the public now. And so the marketing campaign that's been worked on would include television spots, both in Spanish and in English, also on radio, and along with website, Facebook, all of that sort of thing. So if you see on page 15, there's a breakdown of this would be a 10-month campaign that would cost approximately $41,000 and would include all the digital and radio, TV, and we do have budgeted in the current year. We have $40,000 of budget, which this wouldn't start until April, and the first 3 months would be included in this first fiscal year completed. And then we would budget additional money in the next fiscal year as well. So if you have any other questions for either Will or Alejandro on this?
I have a, go ahead.
Okay. My question is, after a year, how do we know whether these are working?
Great question. Earlier at the program committee, I was able to provide a presentation to the committee members on the analytics. So we do have a baseline number of users that we'll be comparing, and we'll be able to see on a day-to-day, even on an hour-by-hour basis, the spikes of utilization and the regions that are actually accessing the website and through what medium. Is it a desktop, a tablet, a cell phone? So we're able to get really good Google Analytics that are already embedded within our CB Hip landing page. So we'll be able to monitor and track how this public marketing campaign is doing out in the public. And then when Will and I met with the representatives from KSQ and Telemundo, they said they're also going to be monitoring and tracking. And then at any point, we feel that maybe the messaging or the ads have become stagnant. We could revisit some of the ads, and then they'll be able to produce new ones to kind of create a new excitement and new reach. So we'll be able to monitor and track that through Google Analytics that is embedded already, so we do have a baseline, and we're able to track them, like I said, month to month, day to day, hour by hour.
Okay, one other question. So if we have groups that we know that meet regularly, like an HOA or like the disaster preparedness groups, mm-hmm. I know they meet in at my facility, and they have like 80, 90 people mm-hmm. every time they cut the list off.
Yeah.
So if you could connect with them and mm-hmm. maybe offer to do a presentation, you know, so that you can communicate this information data, but the HOAs, maybe it's just presenting them with some information, okay. But just non-traditional things.
Okay.
I have a collateral question, slightly on point. Do we have a public service strategy? I was once invited, and I don't remember which channel it was. It was one of the local TV channels to do a public service 30-second announcement for a charity. Do we utilize that capacity ourselves?
We don't, but normally those are like 2 or 3 in the morning.
But looking at Conrado at 3 o'clock in the morning can be a real pop for a lot of people. No, but I think to the extent that there are public service potentials, we should incorporate that into the strategy.
And in the past, you guys did do a PSA on the radio, did you not?
Yes, and I will say
Channel 2? Is that the channel? There was a
Yeah, and
so yeah, this team at KSQ Telemundo, they're very open to our being on the radio and even on television, having Alejandro. We definitely asked about that.
Right, so we should.
They've been really flexible.
Make him a star. Yeah.
So, we're working on.
I had a question.
Yes.
Go ahead. You finished it.
So. We will be bringing to you, as part of our budgeting process for the next fiscal year, some ideas about community engagement that will include
public service.
Yeah, public service announcements.
Excellent.
And other things to elevate the visibility and the perception of the district.
Perfect. Thank you.
So I have a similar kind of question, just like you see on public television. You know, we're providing funds and whatever. Is there any way we could either in print or have a voiceover at the end that says something that, if, you know, funds provided by Desert Healthcare or that kind of language, you know, off the top of my head, but not unlike you would see at the end of any public television station where just some brief, don't want us to steal their message. But I want people to hear the name Desert Healthcare District.
Hey, Mark, that's a really great point. We did talk to the team about that, so they know that this is very much a product of the district, and that's going to be reflected in the promotion.
Yeah.
It's going to
have either the logo or text.
Well, if you can, again, I don't want to take their message, but not unlike public TV. I mean, that isn't a big nuisance. You just kind of hear, funds provided by. Or whatever. But and again, if it doesn't work out, I don't want to interfere with the grant. But you know, what the heck?
Would it be crossing some kind of a line if we were to do like on the church bulletin
advertisement?
Like to put CB Hip and what it is? Would that be?
You mean like? Church bulletin. The program that you get?
On the back, they have advertisement. On every Catholic church.
Every Catholic church.
Just curious, don't do that.
Because of the religion aspect? Is that a issue?
But it's not going to church now with what's going on with the COVID virus.
Well, they put hand sanitizers on the back of my church, which I'm thankful for.
It's a medium.
That would be
fine. Yeah. I know that in every service, I always look at it, and you know, it's something that's very popular in the churches.
Yeah. We should ask our council.
They're very minimal.
Yeah.
They have the same people practically, and you know.
I like the local landscape.
Not all churches do that.
I think Mr. Scott should weigh in on that question.
Government religion.
Just to be on the safe side.
Yeah. That would be good.
Good questions. Yeah. Any further questions? Did we vote on this thing yet?
No.
Not yet.
No. But yeah, I don't think we have. So, if we have, we have to do it again.
I move approval.
Second.
The motion and the second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. I'm sorry, Chris, I think I cut you off. Did you have something?
Not mind. I was indicating that there hasn't been a motion made yet.
Oh, okay, thanks. Is there any further business, or are we all set? Sounds like we're set. I'm just preparing everybody for how we may have to hold these meetings in the future. The COVID virus that picks up. You know, we might have to be doing it via telephone. I could go out, I wouldn't even drop that joke. Anyway, I'm going to drop off, I guess, the meeting's adjourned.